This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. Android, we recommend Spotify or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Apple Podcasts. Also check out Off the Floor. That's our new Discord server, $2.99 per month. If you were on there today, you were getting everything before you got it on Twitter. So let's make that a habit. Check it out. Description has the link right here on the YouTube channel, the podcast feed, also pinned to the top of the Five Reasons Twitter page. Also check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network, includes our friends over at Tub Culture. Just a few days left to Mother's Day, so get the orders in today. Go to shoptubculture.com, handcrafted bath and body care. They also got a bunch of specials on the site there as well. Get the bath bombs, the shower products, and all of that good stuff. shoptubculture.com. If you use the code 5, you automatically get 10% off all orders of $20 or more. shoptubculture.com. And now, today's episode. Down to Biscayne.
Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, rain bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the role playing, got it all banned. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. We're here at Kaseya Center after that annual proceeding, the Pat Riley press conference. Greg Sylvander and I previewed it yesterday. We felt like we gave you a pretty good primer because Pat Riley ended up hitting on a lot of the things we thought he might. The only difference is he was a little bit stronger than I anticipated. So we're going to talk about that today. We're going to be breaking this up into a series of episodes. So we will not hit everything here. This is what we call the quick and dirty, it just finished version. Also hope that you joined us on playback at playback.tv/5RSN. But I ain't staying here for 4 o'clock Miami traffic. So we're going to get out of here. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick and at Five Reasons Sports. I got Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. I've got Brady Hawk. You can follow at Brady Hawk 305. All of us were here today. All of us got a chance to ask questions. We appreciate the Heat distributing the questions around the room so that everybody could get something in. I will just start with this, okay? This was Pat Riley 2014 again. You know, I've attended probably 20 to 25 of these. They were different when Pat was the head coach and you got a chance to talk to him every day. He gets one chance, or we get one chance, to hear from him typically these days. And so he's going to get his thoughts out. So as he usually does, he started with a soliloquy, a monologue. Okay. And this time it was about the thing that I was planning to ask him about, which was availability. That was clearly the foremost thing on his mind. And that plays into the foremost person that he talked about, which was Jimmy Butler. And so we're going to focus on Jimmy Butler and availability in this particular podcast. There were obviously also comments on Tyler Hero. Some were very interesting. Bam Adebayo, Caleb Martin, Haywood Highsmith, Terry Rozier, etc. We will save those as much as we can for future podcasts here. But very simply, okay, Jimmy Butler is on the clock with Pat Riley as far as how much he plays at this stage. And I give Ira credit for asking this. He said, if Jimmy comes to you on July 7th and asks for an extension, what are you going to say? And Pat stuck to what he had said earlier, which was, we don't have to make that decision right now. They have a year to make that decision. They have until 2025. That's not what you're hearing in public spaces, because on Twitter, that has become the big topic. Jimmy Butler's two-year extension, essentially 1 year to replace his player option, add about $2 to $3 million to it. And then another year, his age 37 year, which would be then roughly $58 million at age 37. So that got out here in the public space. That has then created a little bit of buzz, some smoke. I think some of the stuff may be coming from Philadelphia, who knows, or other parts around the league trying to speak about dissension with the Heat. But the truth is, there's not dissension with the Heat. That's not the way I would characterize it. But there is an expectation level that their star player is going to be more available than he has been so that he can set the tone for this team. And he played 60 games this year. And this speaks, again, to Pat Riley and his frustration with what's happened, not just with his team, but with the league. And we have discussed that on Five on the Floor, and we actually predicted on the last podcast, Greg and I would, that he would frame this in a league perspective. But he doesn't even like the 65-game rule, not because he thinks it's too many, but because he thinks it's too few, okay? This is a man who, 20 years ago, everybody played 77, 78, 79 games. And so I think that Heat fans, at the very least, whatever you think of Jimmy, Tyler, and those particular situations, should at least take some comfort in the fact that Pat Riley did not enjoy this either. He did not enjoy the fact that an hour before the game, you were finding out who was out that night. And he spoke about this in the terms of, okay, outside forces. And we've talked about that on the podcast as well. It is clear from Pat's comments that he thinks that agents, outside trainers, he even talked about outside trainers. We talked about that too. Outside trainers, okay, and the idea that maybe they're working a way that we're not working, okay, and all this. So for those who want to blame the Heat training staff, and I know that stuff has been out there, and perhaps they are culpable. We'll see. They say they're going to do more of a deep dive on this. But he clearly is speaking to a league trend where essentially the teams have less control over availability, and he doesn't like it. He doesn't like the fact that trainers are involved. He doesn't like the fact that agents don't want their players to play. He doesn't like the fact that players have become entitled, that they don't think they have to play. And again, does that speak to Jimmy Butler only? No. He called Tyler Hero fragile today. Fragile. Then he backed off, talked about how hard he works, but he says maybe he'll surprise us someday and play every game. This is not just about Jimmy, okay? But Jimmy is the one whose money is a conversation right now. And what this sounded to me like was 2014. And for people who don't remember that press conference, that's not the hidden, the smiling faces with the hidden agendas press conference. That was a year after. I talked about that on the last pod. That was about Goran Dragic, okay, and how they expected Goran to be back because there was no one here with a smiling face with a hidden agenda. And he was referencing back to Bron, and I told the story about how Bron asked me about it when I was up in Cleveland that day. I'm talking about 2014. That's the press conference where there was some question about whether LeBron was going to come back, okay. And he said, if you have the guts, you don't walk out that first open door, right? I'm paraphrasing. That press conference did not go over well with LeBron and his people. None of it. Not the revelation of a child on the way. None of it, okay? LeBron James and Jimmy Butler are different people. Jimmy has a reputation for liking when you come at him. LeBron does not, okay? I know LeBron or knew LeBron better than I know Jimmy, okay? We had more access at that time to him than we have to Jimmy. But I think if you're a Heat fan, what you're hoping is that Jimmy takes this the right way. Because a couple of things before I go to the two of these guys, a couple of things. There were pointed questions asked about Jimmy Butler. One, I asked him if he thought he could still be, Jimmy could still be a 1A with, if he's available and with the right core around him. It's not just about Jimmy. It's also about the players around him. If he could still be a 1A on a championship team. And he said, yes. Okay. He was also asked by Barry if he would consider trading Jimmy Butler. And he said, no. Okay. So to me, the way that I read this is he is basically saying to Jimmy, look, okay, we've been in this with you for 5 years. You changed the culture back the way we wanted it. Last press conference, he acted like this at all was 2019 before they signed Jimmy Butler. And he essentially said, I let the culture slip. They got Jimmy. They rebuilt the culture. He's essentially saying, look, the culture's slipping again with Jimmy here. Okay. Eroded was the word he used. Sorry, I don't know which way to point. Eroded, okay? He's essentially saying it's eroded, okay? We need to fix that. I want to fix it with you. It's like Spoelstra's answer to my question the other day where he talked about that beautiful relationship that develops when you're with somebody for 6 years. I want to fix it with you. But don't come asking me for $111 million more dollars, okay? And it's not really $111 million more. It's really like $62 million more if you combine it over the 2 years. Don't go asking me for that kind of money. And then it's, I'm good playing 58 games. He's not going to tolerate that anymore. And so essentially it's an ultimatum. It's an ultimatum. Like, and he said flat out, okay? He was asked about this, about whether there's been a conversation. He said, we talked to his agent about this last year. Okay. Now, only anecdotal thing I can say is I know that Jimmy has a lot of respect for Pat. Again, I can't speak to it day to day and where it is right now, but that's what I've been told all the way along. So the hope for Heat fans is that he takes this the right way. He comes in with the attitude that he's going to play more often. They're going to take the regular season more seriously collectively. They're going to do the deep dive here to figure out why it was so many guys were out. And yes, what we're going to handle in future episodes is, okay, how are they going to build this thing now around Jimmy? Because it sounds like he wants to build this thing around Jimmy still and Bam, because he praised Bam today. There doesn't seem to be any issue with Bam right now. And Bam probably likely going to get that extension without a conversation. But this time, unlike the last time with Jimmy, where he acknowledged something we reported repeatedly, that the last time they asked for an extension, it was easy. There was no problem. They expected more of a problem. There was no problem. The Heat just gave it to him. This time, it's going to be more of a conversation and a waiting game going forward. I'll go to you on this first, Alex. How do you think Jimmy Butler will take this?
And that's the million-dollar question, right? That is what we're all waiting to see, because as we know, right, just being around him, and as anybody can see, really, just from the way that he acts in general and his character, is like he's very much a contrarian. Sometimes, you know, a lot of times, really jokingly, it's kind of tongue in cheek. He's really just like that. He wants to go against whatever you're saying. So I kind of get both sides of it, right? Because as others have mentioned, as you kind of hinted at there, like Jimmy is somebody who doesn't mind when people kind of go back at him. And I think he appreciates that. And I think, you know, that's stuff we've talked about over the years with certain guys, why he might favor one player over another, because one player might have a little bit more of that attitude than another guy and things of that nature. So I don't think he'll mind Pat just kind of, you know, going back at him. But I do think, I don't know how much of this was absolutely necessary to say to the public. And I'm, you know, I'm not going to complain about it because it's giving us a ton of content. He's so generous to give us all the content in the time we needed it most. Thank you, Pat Riley. It was like I was completely in the moment just watching that. I'm like, oh, this is the stuff right here. We're getting peak Pat. Like, he's giving you his thoughts, and you could tell he very much like tried to organize his thoughts a little bit before getting in there and had like his messages that he just kind of went back to. But I don't know. I don't know how Jimmy's going to react to this. I think he did a lot, right? Like, it wasn't like he said it one time. He kept going back to it over and over and over. It wasn't just about Jimmy, right? And we're going to talk about this in other episodes, but Tyler got some of that as well, as far as like playing games and playing enough games. You know, there was times in there when he was kind of implying that some, you know, some guys had real injuries, right? Like, he said that word, like, oh, when it's a real injury. I don't have the exact quote in front of me right now, but like, there was a lot in there. It was very hot and heavy, right? Like, it was just like, you don't know how Jimmy's going to react. But I do know that I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting him to be so raw about it. I wasn't expecting him to kind of, you know, his immediate answer to the extension question being, you know, we'll see. We don't have to do this right away. Like, no, we don't have to do this right now. Like, as soon as it's eligible. And I kind of expected him to really just commit to Jimmy. But I guess he's playing the negotiation game in public. And honestly, that would make me nervous, you know, if you're a Heat fan. I just think because of the stuff Jimmy's done before, of course, he's much older now. He's not in the same state he was before. Like, it's a different situation. I just think it was a risky game to play. And you mentioned 2014. It's like LeBron and Jimmy are very different players. But at the end of the day, I haven't said that in a while. Like, you're calling him out publicly to a bunch of media members over and over and over. Like, when you talk about the whole thing of like his response to Jimmy, you know, talking trash about the Knicks and the Celtics, just telling him to keep his mouth shut because he wasn't on the floor. Like, that was striking to me. Of course, what he said about Tyler calling him fragile was striking to me. Like, these, you know, it was kind of, to me, that was the most entertaining press conference that I've been to personally of Pat. Like, that was, you know, it blew away my expectations. It's given us a lot to talk about. And I don't even have like, you know, I'm still like in the aftershock, like trying to organize my thoughts. It's just, I wasn't expecting to hear all that.
Well, the question about, maybe I'm just getting old because I'm starting to feel like Pat does about some of these things. I didn't like Jimmy's comments either. I mean, I said that. Like, I mean, to me, it's like I'm kind of over this whole bravado thing. Like, you know, it's all year long when he does talk. It's, you know, we'll get him then, and we'll see you in June. And I understand you want to project that stuff, but then you got to play. And I'm again, I'm not blaming him for the MCL injury in the game itself. He played. He was a warrior. He played through it. Okay, that's not what this is about. This is about playing the other games hard and playing enough of them hard during the regular season that you're not in that position where you're playing that game. And then it's like, well, if I was healthy, we would have beaten New York and Boston. I can see Pat like looking at that like, well, you're not. Like, oh, I don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not, it's false bravado at a certain point when you get to that stage. And that's kind of how it struck me. And I think that's how it struck Pat. And, you know, again, we talk about, well, Pat and doing this, there's a one voice philosophy with this organization. Okay. And that came up when I asked him about Udonis's comments about Hero and being a sixth man. And I knew that Pat wouldn't like Udonis going kind of out rogue like that, but that's what happens when he's like, he works for the organization now. I'm like, exactly. Like Zoe has kept his mouth shut for 20 years. He has opinions about a lot of things. Okay. But UD went out there and said that, but they have a one voice philosophy. But as Pat said, like Spo and I argue about things all the time. They do, but then they come out with one voice. So here's the thing. Pat would not have come out and said any of this stuff today unless there was some agreement with the Arisons, unless there was some agreement with Spo and Andy, whoever it is, okay, that it is clear. They can talk about we have enough, okay, and that was Spo's like front-facing thing. That's what he has to project to his team. But they did not have enough, and it was plain to see, and I don't think they can – you say not saying it publicly. I understand why you say it publicly because you can't fool the fans anymore. Like the fans show up to a game and Jimmy's not playing or Tyler's not playing or this guy's not playing. And at a certain point, like it starts to hurt your business. Like he talked about this being a business when you talk about the second apron and all this kind of stuff. Like fans have an expectation that the top players are going to play. And so he came out. I think this was as much a message to the fans as it was to Jimmy at the beginning. Like, okay, we're going to solve this thing. Like you're going to buy tickets to a Heat game. Like also, they've talked a lot, Brady, about how they weren't good at home and they didn't give a good performance for the team fans at home. A lot of it was they didn't have all their players at home a lot of the time. And so I think that this was a message like, okay, we're aware of the problem. Okay. As they're tearing down the arena in the background, we're aware of the problem. Okay. We're going to address it. We're willing to build a team. Like he said, if I go to Mickey, okay, with somebody, like we're going to discuss that player. Like, I think he's projecting, like, we're okay building around Jimmy, building this thing out. We still think he's a 1A. We still think he's an elite guy, but he needs to play. And I don't think that he would have come out and said this again, unless there was some alignment in the organization behind that basic premise.
100%. I mean, he was definitely just sending a message. Like that was the whole thing here. You mentioned the opening monologue because that was kind of the important thing was he came out and mentioned the availability stuff. But before he mentioned the availability stuff, he said, we have to change some things. And he added the part where he said, but we surely aren't going to rip anything apart here. But he said, we have to change some things. And I think everybody, when you hear change, starts thinking trades. We're like, okay, the thing that needs to change here is players going in and out. But then he kind of changed it into being, the word change did not mean what we thought it meant. The word change meant Jimmy Butler needs to change. Because when he brought up Jimmy and he brought up the positives of him where he was saying, I think it was the answer maybe to your query. He said, who moves the needle the most on our team? It's Jimmy. He moves the needle the most. He's an incredible player. But he made sure to add, but he needs to change. He needs to give it some thought as well. So it was like that word kept tying into Jimmy more than anybody, where it wasn't really looked at as a roster thing. So I just thought that part was interesting. And then obviously the fact you mentioned when he gets asked about the contract thing and he kind of didn't even, you know, like he elaborates on everything. Everything is elaboration. That did not get much elaboration. It was, you know, he's under contract. We still have him for another year. Like that's kind of it. There's not really much else to talk about there. So I thought that was an interesting perspective. And then the fact that, look, any question that was, it wasn't the fact that he's being asked about Jimmy's availability and bringing up his availability. No matter what question was asked, he tied it back into that. That like, this is the reason for this. Oh, well, it all starts with this. I literally asked him about Nikola Jovic and Jaime Hawkins. Nothing to do with that. And he made sure to throw in the fact where he was talking about Jaime and kind of his injury. And he said, and he plays. He would have played 82 games. He's a proud young warrior that will play every night for you. And he really emphasized on that will. Like, he will play. And I think that's just where he's at. He's looking around and saying, I think the thing from the fan base perspective is that I think they're worried that when you come back in October, it's going to be like, okay, the move was that, okay, our guys are just going to play now. Right. That's the change that we made. Our guys are all of a sudden, we're going to play 70 games. Our guys are going to play. And that's it's not running it back. We're running it back more often. We're just going to actually have our guys actually out
we're
on
running
the court.
We're running more sprints.
Exactly.
Is what we're running. I'm with you on that. And I just want to jump in on that one thought, because I understand that fans are going to say, he's basically saying, we don't need more talent. I really don't think that that's what he's saying. I don't think he's saying we don't need more talent. Okay. I think what he's saying is we need our talent to actually play. That's where it starts. And you're right. He kept coming back to Jimmy on it. And for those, I just find this amusing, because for those who I think, you know, have been critical of us, particularly me, of focusing so much on Jimmy in the second half of the season and his availability, I will say I feel a little validated today. I don't think that I've ever felt so aligned with Pat, because a lot of times I don't agree with a lot of Pat's methods, but he's right. I'm sorry. He's right. Like, I mean, there is a certain point, like there has to be an expectation of playing. And I understand there are some things we can parse this. Okay. And we can say, okay, there was a personal issue he was dealing with, and you give the player some time for that. Right. And then, you know, you want to get through to get to the playoffs. So maybe the knee's bothering you, the ankle's bothering you, you take an extra day off. I actually think, and I didn't get to answer this directly, I actually think he's more irritated with the not giving it your all in the games you play than he even is with the game with the games you don't play. At least that was my irritation this year. Again, as they're tearing down the building here, we'll try to. Alex, you want to take care of that? Close the door.
Jimmy's trying to break in
to get his sub back. But I want to make one clear distinction though between this and 2014, because I did not make this at the beginning. This is the most sort of fiery I've seen Pat since 2019 in one of these pressers, and then additionally, we mentioned the 2015 presser, which was the smiling faces with hidden agendas, and then 2014 presser about if you have the guts. But the key difference between this and 2014 is LeBron was not under contract. LeBron was not under contract. Like there was, and my understanding of that press conference was there was growing concern inside the organization that LeBron was not coming back. And so this was kind of like throwing the gauntlet out there publicly in some ways to kind of see where it stood, and it backfired. Okay. Now, in this case, Jimmy's under contract. Like, Jimmy has to report to training camp one way or the other, unless Jimmy's going to pull a Jimmy. There's no reason for him to pull a Jimmy, so to speak, like he did in Minnesota in this particular situation. But look, if the contract issue lingers, he's going to get asked about it a lot. It's going to become more and more problematic. And my sense of this, and we'll talk more about this after the break here, my sense of this is that part of the frustration is what we've been talking about a little bit, is that they feel like they've bent for Jimmy more than they bent for anybody else, more than they bent for Shaq, more than they bent for Bron, more than they bent certainly for Zoe, and more than they bent for any of them, for Bosh, except any of these guys, or Dwayne, okay? They're franchise icon. They feel like they've given him more leeway. We've talked about some of these things. And all they're asking for is just play more and play hard when you play. Like, and so I think that's kind of what came out today, is like, they already feel like they've extended certain courtesies to him that they haven't extended to others. And again, I think that's part of the reason why Bam pretty much got off today without really any criticism, other than we're going to turn him more into Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and teach him a hook shot. Like that's really all that came out of that today. But it's sort of like, okay, like Bam, he's front, doesn't mean he's the best player. And I think that's the distinction that people don't make sometimes. We're not saying Bam has to be a 1A, but Bam is the franchise extension here. But Jimmy, as you mentioned, Brady, Jimmy is the guy, he's the ceiling raiser. He's the guy who makes this thing go. That's why I asked if he thinks he can still be a 1A. But again, I think that some of the frustrations came out today, but these are calculated frustrations. Pat doesn't come out with a monologue about availability if that's not what he's been thinking about all this time. And again, he kept bringing it back to Jimmy, other than calling Hero fragile, which is not the best way to pump a trade asset, by the way. But it is what it is. All right, we do want to mention a couple of great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. Maybe they're working here in the building right now. Water Cleanup of Florida, WCUFL.com. Our great friends, Michael Robert and his team, based up in Boca Raton, they service the entire Tri-County area. You can check them out again, WCUFL.com. If you've got leaks in your home or business, they are the people to reach out to. Get to it before it becomes a big problem, although they can, of course, handle it after the fact. So reach out to them at WCUFL.com. If you've got the schmutz, they, I guess like Pat Riley today, have got the guts. Also do want to mention one other sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network, our friends over at Prize Picks. It is legal again in the state of Florida. So make sure you're using the code 5, F-I-V-E. Get your initial deposit matched up to $100. Also, again, you enter lineups. That's a power play now, up to four players you can play, but you can still play them across different sports. So you want to play the Panthers, you can do that as well, in addition to the NBA playoffs, MLS, and more. So check them out, prizepicks.com. Use the code F-I-V-E. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products, and that's why I use Harry's Shaving Products. I love the way it handles, I love the way it looks, and I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard, so better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German-engineered blades made in their own factory, so they stay sharp longer. Means you can use them longer. And also, they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, before we briefly hit on a couple of other things, because we're going to devote, I think, an entire podcast to Hero, I think, and then we'll touch on some of the other things. Was there anything else, Jimmy? I'll go to Brady on this first. Is there anything, and we'll pivot to some of the other stuff with Alex. Was there anything else Jimmy-related that jumped out to you today?
Jimmy-related? I mean, everything was Jimmy-related. Every answer felt like it was tied back to Jimmy in some way. But I think the part that I mentioned, like he hinted at changes, and the changes was hinted at Jimmy. But then he was, I know this isn't super Jimmy related, but the fact that he was asked about major changes, where that he was asked that question, and that's a whole episode. We're going to probably talk about that, where he answered, no, not right now. Like that's not where they're at right now in terms of making major changes. He said, I'm always ears wide open or I'm not doing my job. The number one issue is player availability. And I think that's what gets back to the point is like they're saying, like you just said, they believe Jimmy's a 1A. They believe that he's their 1A. That they believe he's the guy that they're building around, and that the major changes, unless, like they said, unless it really walks to their doorstep once again and it's put in a position where they're able to get that guy with the assets that they have that we talk about every year that end up not being enough every time and probably won't be enough again. It seems like that's what they're going to do again. And that's why the to wrap up that question where he said the number one issue is player availability. That's what's going to be the topic of the offseason. That's what's going to be the topic of media day. That's what's going to be the topic of training camp is the availability, because that's ultimately probably going to be what they're going to come back to. That just seems like the way they're heading. And maybe, I don't know, I thought he would hint a little bit more at the idea of changes and building. Like, okay, with that said about Jimmy, we need to get him help. Because, like, let's be honest, let's play both sides here. You could say the stuff about Jimmy not playing, but I think the other side is Jimmy's perspective, if he drops his diss, is Like the idea that I would not have to carry the load of playing 75 games in my 6 years on this team if I had the necessary help. If I had the guys around me to get me to that point, maybe we don't have this issue and maybe it's not being thrown back in my face at this point in the end of the season. So I think that's like his perspective of this is saying, okay, well, maybe the changes would lead to these changes, but I'm not getting these changes, so I'm not changing. So I don't know. Like it feels like it could go both ways there, but right now, the availability just has to change. And that was the message. And that's clearly what he got across to them.
I mean, they got him Kyle. I'm just going to keep coming back to that. They got him Kyle. Like that's who he wanted. They got him Kyle. They gave him an extra year. That's the counter to that. I'm not saying they've necessarily maximized the roster around him. Not saying that. And I also, want to make the point, and they had to get off Kyle's contract too, where they felt that they had to get him help this year. So they got him Rozier. That may not have been what everybody wanted, but it looked okay for a little while, and Pat talked up that trade, and we'll get into it. We'll do a Terry episode at some point here going forward. But the key thing I took about the getting help part is that he kept saying there are only a couple of guys out there. Like when he's talking about a guy forcing his way to – there are no free agents. They can't act in free agency anyway. He's talking about guys forcing their way to him again. But he's saying there's only a couple who really make that kind of difference. And he said very specifically, I'm not going to give away the farm or give away the future. I can't remember exact word he said, but I'm paraphrasing for modest improvements. So this is not going to be like, in other words, like Zach LaVine. Okay. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's the type of player I'm talking about. Like DeRozan, LaVine. Okay. I mean, DeRozan fits them more from a culture perspective, but still like that kind of player, like they're not going to gut it. Well, Beal from last year, but like for Donovan Mitchell, that may be a different conversation. He's under contract and playing in the second round. He can't speak about him right now, but Donovan Mitchell, you know who I would think? Donovan Mitchell and Kevin Durant. Like when I heard about like two guys, right? That's the list, right? It's Donovan Mitchell and Kevin Durant. Both guys that they've inquired about before, okay, more so Durant than Mitchell, but both guys that we've discussed before, and both of those guys are in these situations where they do not control it. I mean, Durant, if this owner just wants to trade all his draft picks until the end of time, Steppy and Rule be damned, okay, like they don't control whether or not they can't just call up JJ and say, hey, make a trade. He's not even controlling things over there anymore, okay? And then with Mitchell, like, I mean, what if they beat Boston? Like, I'm not expecting that to happen. I'm not either, but I'm saying, like they don't control those two particular situations. And so I think what he's saying is Heat fans who just want to trade so that they can go get, like, a bottom of the top 50 type player, I'm not gutting everything for that. Is that what you took from it, and what would be kind of your final thoughts?
Pretty much. I pretty much agree with you. And you could tell that he was, like, trying to not shut off any possibility. And even when he said directly no to the idea of considering trading Jimmy, he did say, there's possibilities that, you know, that anybody is on the table. And it's like, I think he was trying to, you know what I mean, cover all his bases with that one. But I do think it was very much like what you guys are saying, that we have like a decent roster and we haven't really gotten to see it together. And it's like, we don't even have a sample on what they look like together. It's like, you're not going to compete for anything if there's no availability. So I'm with you on that, on the overall theme. But otherwise, like the other quotes that kind of stuck out to me regarding Jimmy was, you know, when Ira asked him about the pressure of the extension, right? And he very much just like interrupted the question before Ira kept going, of course, but he was like, you know, there's no pressure. That's exactly, there's no pressure. The last extension, we gave it to him. That one struck me a bit because it was like, we've already been working with you. The whole tone of all of this regarding Jimmy very much felt like, you know, we held up our end of the deal. Now you got to hold up yours, which I agree with, like what Brady was saying before, from the perspective of Jimmy, like you got to see it both ways a little bit, because Jimmy is the one, you know, carrying them when it matters most, when other guys weren't available. Now, of course, that wasn't the case this year, but I do think it's like, well, he waited till that, you know, the first time that Jimmy's actually not available when it matters most because of an injury to say these things. So I do think, you know, I see it both ways, because Jimmy is somebody who has done it year in, year out, gets the benefit of the doubt to this process that, you know, the exact process that Pat Riley is kind of showing some disdain for, right? Where it's like, you know, kind of not the full Jimmy, throughout the regular season. And he very much started off the whole thing talking about change. And it's like, you know, when he first started, right, with that monologue, soliloquy, whatever you want to call it, I thought he was just talking about general, like, roster change before he made it clear he was talking about the availability stuff. And it was just, you know, just the first quote, until you change the way you go about doing the things that are necessary to win, whatever they are, if those things if you are doing to try to win, if they're not working, must change. That, to me, set the tone for the rest of the interview. Like you guys said, he's going to set the, you know, the tone for next season. Coming into the season is going to set the tone for the whole summer regarding Jimmy, regarding how they build from this. It was very interesting to hear Pat talk about that and him to just kind of be upfront about it. And when he was asked, he gave pretty honest answers. Like, I thought it was very intriguing to hear from him, and I was not expecting to hear all of that regarding Jimmy. I mean, it's just, you know, he said this 5-year window, we've been pretty successful. We haven't won the chip, and I think that bothers everybody, but our organization isn't about rebuilding. He made that clear multiple times. He's like, we're not going to, you know, rip this anything apart here, is what he said also. Like, he's made it clear that they're still about winning, but that this formula doesn't work if guys aren't available. And that's just kind of what it feels like.
So here's the quote, that I tweeted this one out. Pat Riley reiterates that it's a big decision on our part to commit those kind of resources unless you have someone who's going to be available every night. I think he's counting on a couple of things here. I think he's counting on Jimmy to relate to this in some way. I also think he's counting on the respect that Jimmy's camp has for the organization, which I can tell you was not quite the same in some of the other places that Jimmy has played, in particular one of them, where things got way out of control. Pat Riley's not going to have that circus here, okay? I mean, he's not going to. It was funny, but he's not going to have that circus here that went on in Minnesota. I think that this is basically laying it out at the very beginning. You want help? I'm going to try to get you help. You want that extension? I'm going to try to get you that extension, okay? I need to see you more on the basketball court, less on the tennis court.
Ethan, one question before we end this. You remember last year during training camp, you asked him a question about how much he's going to play this year.
And he said, maybe 10 games.
Maybe 10 games.
Maybe 10 games.
Know that this conversation between Pat and Jimmy about availability was had. I mean,
which is why Jimmy gave me that wry smile when I asked the question beforehand. And, you know, I think, again, a lot of things that we kind of sensed throughout the season that something was not quite right in that regard, I think we just heard it. I think we just heard it. And I really do think, as we close here, and we'll do more podcasts on all this, I honestly think this should be a reassuring press conference for Heat fans, honestly. That's how I come out of it. Because the single biggest issue with this team, people are going to say it's talent. And I'm not going to argue against a talent upgrade. They need a talent upgrade. They need an infusion of different personalities, different abilities. They need to get bigger. They need to get more athletic. There's a lot of things that need to happen on this team. Okay. Not arguing with that. But to me, what has to happen though, is they have to shift this emphasis back where it's not just like the 6 months don't matter. Okay. Until you get to the postseason, and then we're going to turn it on, because then you need overwhelming talent to overcome the position that you put yourself in. And I don't see a path to overwhelming talent for this team. I see a path to better talent. I see a path to give themselves a chance to be one of those teams. But I'll go back to what Eric Spoelstra said at Media Day. We believe we're one of those teams. They were not. They were not. They were 0-10 against the top 5 teams in the West. They were 1, and we can talk about Jimmy or no Jimmy. They were 1-7 against Boston. That's 1-17 against the teams that have a chance to win a championship this year, or we believed had a chance to win a championship this year. That you're not one of those teams, okay? And Barry keeps repeating those statistics, and we've repeated those statistics. They're out there. So if you're going to become one of those teams and you really only have the resources under the second apron to add so much talent plus your development, then it is about that talent being on the court. And for those who want to know if Pat Riley was asleep, I think today is pretty clear, even with his comment about taking the sleeping pills and sleeping till noon, which is going to get replayed. He's not asleep. I think he feels the fan concerns on this. And I can tell you from my conversations with other people in the front office other than Pat this season, they felt the fan concerns on this. And I'm glad that they stopped blowing the smoke up our ass with "we have enough." They don't. They don't. Okay? They need to improve the talent base, and then they need to get that talent base to play.
All right, we're going to get to more podcasts as we go forward. Go to tubculture.com, use code 5RSN, and I always screw that up. Prize Picks, also the code 5. Check out Water Cleanup, WCUFL.com. Have a good one, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.